Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Oh, man. Blues and wingy wings. Well, we used to see those wings many times a year, but now, Doug, it's a special occasion when Detroit comes a-calling.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. They're still the Red Wings. Still a good team.
Still playing the Joe.
Yeah, they do.
You ever been there?
Yes.
A little rough.
They kind of forgot the press box. It's right at the top. You can't even stand up.
Yes. It's like the last row of the...
Yeah. And you hit your head in the ceiling if you stand up upright.
They've won five in a row.
I could stand up.
Yeah.
They've won five in a row, Doug.
It's a tough bunch.
You know what? They come to St. Louis loaded for bear is what they do.
Be fun to see Chris Osgood again. And Stevie Y, Doug. He just keeps going out there and doing it.
Yeah.
And the Red Army, number 91.
Frank Mihaljevic continues to get up and down his wing. He's been doing that since the 60s.
Did you say you're going to have wings tonight?
Yeah. Should I not, since the Blues are playing the Wings?
Eh.
That might send a message.
Kind of a slap in their face.
Carter Hutton's going to join us. He's presented by GFI Digital. That's coming your way at 8:15. TMA Live tonight at the Post Sports Bar and Grill. And that's in Creve Coeur is where we will be. I mean, what will it be like to see the Postmaster General, the Plowing, in person? Plowing, you finna get high?
Oh, yeah.
Now, why would you?
To me, it's just a simple radio show. Well, I tell Iggy every morning, usually around 6:40 when the sun's kind of peeking up outside the trees, you can kind of see the sunset, that I'm going to do show prep.
And that's what you do.
Yeah. Do you think you're addicted to marijuana?
You know,
get addicted to marijuana?
I mean, I'm sure I am, I guess, but I for a job's sake, if I were
hot
to get,
shots, hot take, Bill.
Well, here's the thing, though. I've never really had a real reason to quit. That's been, you know, I haven't had that extra motivation. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just been complacent and just smoking.
But some would say that there was some would say overuse of marijuana will affect your motivation. So in
I completely disagree. I think it's the exact opposite.
It's a dangerous cycle.
No, most people think it's the gateway drug. I find that to be more 60s and 70s.
No, I didn't say gateway. I'm saying that it does affect motivation. Yeah, well, that was a straw man type one.
It all affects people differently, you know, and I understand if I talk to people that have tried it once and didn't like it, or tried it a couple times and quit, and it affected them differently, and I understand. I don't judge people if they do or don't smoke.
I'm not judging you here. I'm just saying.
No, I understand.
Yeah. I love you.
I appreciate it.
How much does it cost, Buster?
No, I got a good deal. I mean, I get good deals.
Is that from Reith?
I'm not going to go.
Mace Dog?
No, Reith. I mean, if I was in Canton, Reith would definitely be the guy I would go to.
Doug, Reith has just been out as a drug dealer on the show.
A lot more expensive than cigarettes?
Probably cheaper, actually.
It lasts me. It's more expensive up front, but will last me longer than what the amount of cigarettes are for that price.
What's a pack of cigarettes cost these days?
About $4.50 for me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See, but here's the thing, though. Once you smoke, Doug, then the other expenses go up, because instead of buying one Tombstone pizza, you buy six.
That's why I think that really that Dollar General there on the corner by the Dobbs might be the best spot on the planet. Like, it makes
cheap food.
I've often heard the Monterey Peninsula is, but you know, it might be this Dollar General near Dobbs.
We call it in Canton the Game Changer. I mean, Dollar General is the Game Changer. It's right on my way. I don't have to go out of my way to go shopping. It's reasonably priced.
What is it? Is that your Shangri-La?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means, but candy is a dollar there, when at gas stations and grocery stores, candies are now $2.
Well, you don't need candy.
I'm saying if you wanted to go that
route.
No,
you do if you smoke. You need candy and Funyuns and things.
Really?
He walked by me one day and said, I'm going to get high. I said, you're not already?
Mm. Higher?
Higher, yeah.
Do you feel like that's in some sort of way medicating as a defense mechanism against having to sit through 3 hours of this show? You sort of have to deaden the senses.
No, it makes this show go from great to fantastic to wonderful to legendary.
There you go, kids.
It's because you don't really care about the content.
I disagree. I do not go that route.
855-282-8255, your thought on the Plowhawk. He will be high tonight, TMA Live at the Post Sports Bar and Grill. In Creve Coeur, come on by. The water's going to be warm, And we're going to ask you to, you know, slide in and take a dip with us.
And we could splash each other and giggle.
Really like that. I really like that.
There's not going to be any splashing.
The news team should do a day in the life of the plowboy. That's from the Hunchback of Vaughn Castle. That news team, there's a news story up, Doug. The polarization of you and the cat over email today. As a matter of fact, we have some of the audio here. Hannah Ray interviewing Doug and the cat over the email of the day and the controversy. Let's take a listen.
One of my core values is to try to make other people feel better about themselves. It's a passion of mine.
Wow.
My laughter is genuine, and that's how I vote. I don't care if they're attacking me or attacking Doug. I hold this very sacred. If the email makes me laugh, it's going to get my vote. So that is genuine, and I take that very seriously. And I said it on the air. I'll say it again. Sometimes, the emails are the most creative part of the whole show.
Doug Vaughn doesn't remember what's included in emails. Doug Vaughn just tries to turn it all off. That's when my mind just kind of goes blank, and I'd like to be anywhere in the world other than that studio listening to the emails. Many of them are suspension worthy. Many of the people should not have their feelings hurt. Some of the people don't even use their real names. There's a guy on there called Sean Mahoney's Dead Eye. I don't think his parents named him after a defective body part. And if you're not going to be legitimate in your emails, Doug Vaughn doesn't remember them. Yeah, someone gets suspended almost. Have you heard some of the emails? Have you read them? Don't read them.
I don't read them on purpose.
Don't read them at all. It's the most horrendous stuff you've ever heard in your life. So do people get suspended? Yes, they get suspended. Should they be suspended? Absolutely, they should be suspended. I dole out discipline. That's who I am. That's what I do.
Wow. Now, if someone refers to themselves in the third person,
yeah,
it tells me that they're on a power trip.
Yeah, or just like riding the bench for the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of surprising to hear you speak of yourself.
Starting to feel my oats a little bit.
That suspension logule has turned you into a monster.
I've decided I'll start speaking about myself in the first person.
So Hannah Ray does not read the email, so she doesn't know what you guys are talking about.
No, she had no clue what any of it was about.
And she also doesn't know the name of our show. And I'm pretty sure she doesn't know Doug's name or my name.
No. And every time we're talking, I'm sure what's going through her mind is, how could my career have led me to this? What in the world am I doing?
I heard her say, ew, I have to talk to the old guys again.
a lot of texts are coming in. 855-282-8255. Plowboy, want to get stoned, eat Tostino's pizzas, and play Mario Kart. Thanks. It's from the SoCo Fish. Sounds like a play date there for you, Plowhawk.
More than a play date. That's like, you know, that's a picturesque day for me.
That's just what you're looking
for.
Yeah,
just perfect.
Nice. Well, it doesn't seem terribly productive.
Sounds fun, though. If you're happy, that's your game. God bless you.
Exactly, Doug.
But at some point, you need to be productive.
Wheelhouse in downtown St. Louis is locally owned and operated. Your local college football headquarters for the SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12, and also your NFL headquarters in St. Louis. Parties at WheelhouseSTL.com is how you can book parties at the Wheelhouse. Blues in action tonight. Stop by the Wheelhouse beforehand or after for the Blues and Wingy Wingy. And joining us right now, presented by GFI Digital, ladies and gentlemen, Blues Netminder, Carter Hutton. Carter, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you doing?
Thank you for joining us here on the radio program. Your thoughts on the start to the season? A lot of people, understandably, with Brian Elliott leaving, we're going, I wonder what the Blues goaltending situation is going to be. But you played so well in the preseason and then early on that people are like, man, the Blues really might have something with Carter Hutton. What was your approach going into the year, knowing that that was out there, at least amongst some fans?
Yeah, you know, it's always tough, you know, coming in for, you know, Elliott had such a great career here, and then you had a guy who last year, him and Jake kind of at times, you know, both kind of ran with it. So, you know, coming in for me, I knew it was going to be, you know, it's a pretty loyal fan base, and you knew it would be tough. But, you know, for me, I knew what I was capable of, and coming here was, you know, obviously very exciting for me. You know, I've played enough against Blues to know what the fan base is like and what the team's like. So for me, just trying to come in and play the way that I play and, you know, I let my game kind of do my talking for me. And, you know, I think from there, you know, people will enjoy having me, that's for sure.
What is your relationship like with Jake Allen? I know, you know, sometimes it can be difficult because you guys, in a sense, are teammates and on the same page, but also, in a sense, rivals. What is your relationship like with him?
It's very good. You know, honestly, right away, he's been awesome. As soon as I came to town, you know, showing me around, kind of give me a lay of the land. And, we didn't personally know each other. We played against each other, you know, in the NHL and in the minors. But it's one of those things that I feel like we've gone through it so many times with goaltending, like growing up as kids and through the systems, junior and for me, university and then pro. You're always competing for minutes. You're always trying to be the guy. You're always, but at the same time, along the way, you learn how to be, get along and be friends. And, you know, the success of the team is going to help us both through like our individual success. So you pretty much just try to help each other out. And I've just always felt that you don't get that far, you know, treating people bad or anything like that. So but we have a really good relationship. He's a great guy.
He's gotten most of the starts so far. How much do you need to play to stay sharp?
You know, you obviously want to play as much as you can. You know, it's one of those things that's, you know, for they've been kind of pretty open with me. You know, obviously Jim Corsi, my goalie coach, he handles me a lot and, you know, tries to communicate stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things I understand. He right now he's our guy and he, you know, we're pushing to give him more minutes. And, you know, for me, I just stay fresh through practice and find ways to compete. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. I came from a team where I didn't get to play a lot of games. And, you know, I had success, you know, through, you know, sometimes 3-4 weeks off. You know, it's just tough. It's been a transition. And, you know, so hopefully I can stay, you know, play some more minutes on a consistent base, and it'll definitely help me stay in a rhythm and, you know, help the team win.
One of the, I think, the most difficult things for a goaltender is even if you're not playing badly, when you get pulled and you end up having to go to the bench in the middle of a game, mentally, how difficult is that to deal with?
Yeah, it's tough, especially, you know, it's one thing if you're, you know, if you're playing every game and you're able to, you know, jump right back in net the next game and you know, kind of get back on the horse, it's tough, right? Like, you know, but there you're able to, you know, redeem yourself. You know, sometimes in my position, if you're not playing as many minutes, you know, and you have a tough night and you get pulled or something, then now you got to maybe have a 2-week wait till the next time you're able to get in there. So it makes for a lot of practicing the year before. But I think for me, through experiences and, you know, you've played so many games and had so much success and other times where, you know, things haven't gone well, be able to bounce back. And I think it's just mental toughness. And I think at this stage in careers, you establish that to get to this level.
A couple of years ago when you were with Nashville, you got to play a lot when Pekka Rinne got hurt and played very well. Was that kind of the defining moment of your career when you proved to everybody that you could do this?
Yeah, definitely. That was a big, that year was a big opportunity for me to be there and play with Pex. And then when he got hurt, you know, that was kind of my moment to show that, you know, you belong and you can play at this level and you can, you know, get the job done, because it is a small market. You know, you have 60 jobs in the world and there's so many guys and the difference between a lot of guys isn't much. You know, you have there's a certain few guys that are, you know, have a lot of job security, but for the rest of us, it's, you know, everyone's pretty much interchangeable. So you have to get your chance and take advantage of it. And then, you know, continually do it, you know, like once you get here, it kind of isn't the end of the hard work. So I think for me, it was a great opportunity. And obviously I played well and, you know, I've had some success in all sorts of different situations. So I just try to build off that coming into this year.
Now you talk about the opportunity to jump in with the Blues after Elliott goes elsewhere. You know, when you're looking at opportunities, you could jump in with a team that, you know, had a nice run in the playoffs. You had to be thrilled to be part of this team.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, we, my agent and I, you know, going to free agency, it was a big thing for me. You know, I had to potentially go back to Nashville, but I just thought my time there was done and, you know, it was time for me to move on and try a new place. And, you know, out of all the teams we had, you know, St. Louis wasn't really on the map to begin with. And then at the trade, at the draft, they approached my agent saying that, you know, the plan was to move Els. And, you know, for me, that jumped to the top of the list. This was a team I wanted to be a part of. You know, such a strong history, such a strong recent history as well. You know, I had the chance to play with Barrett Jackman last year, and Robert Bertuzzo's from my hometown. So, you know, I had a lot of info on the city and how good it was. And, you know, from the outside, when you're playing here, you know, you come in, you go to the hotel, you go to the rink. So you don't really get the whole feel of the city. You know, I just knew it was a hard team to play against, a hard rink to play in. And, you know, to join forces with a team that the potential we have and how good we are, you know, it was a no-brainer for me, and I was so excited to be part of this.
I guess each team you're part of has a different personality. The Blues, obviously, a very young team. What's the feel like being around this team and being in the dressing room with them?
It's great. It's a very strong-knit room. You know, I played for teams where, you know, you have half and half. Half guys kind of are together, half are, you know, it gets to a point where sometimes guys, you know, start having families and you have younger guys, and it gets a bit of a mix. But here it's quite the team. Everyone is together. You know, we're always hanging out, like the plane rides. It's a tight-knit group, and it's something that's pretty awesome. And for me, it's been really easy to fit in right away, and guys go out of their way to make it easy for me. So I think that's going to be a strength of us, you know, down the line, because, you know, we're just starting to get into it here now, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs just with any season. It's a long year, and I think this room is going to make a difference with our leaders and just with everybody pulling in the same direction.
I noticed you called Pekka Rinne Pex. How long does it take when you go to a new team to start calling people Shaddy and Petro? Or is it kind of weird to say that right away, or do you call them your first name for a while?
Good question. I'm intrigued by this answer.
That is a good question. Yeah, honestly, In hockey, it happens quick. It's the nicknames are so prevalent, you know. Like I would be Hutz, and so I think I was meeting people before they actually even knew me, and I was being called Hutz. So it's one of those things that just, it's so natural. The biggest thing is just picking up on guys' nicknames. You know, Shaddy's kind of a simple one, but some guys have different nicknames, so you got to learn those. And but for the most part, yeah, it's right on. Within the first week, you pretty much got everyone's nickname and you're calling it in. So it makes for a smooth transition. There isn't that awkward period where you don't know how to talk to each other.
Yeah, I would have thought you would have been Hutter or Hutsy, but just Huts. Yeah, that would have been very embarrassing.
Yeah, just Huts. Yeah, that was but, you know what I mean? That's why we feel it out. You know, I wouldn't get mad if you called me Hutsy, but I'd like you to adapt to Huts for me.
Yeah, but if you're doing if you're doing a hack radio show like this one.
Right.
And you come on the air, instead of saying Carter Hutton, and we say, hey, Hutsy, come on, be honest. You'd be a little ticked at us, wouldn't you?
No, I'd play along. Maybe off air I'd have some complaints.
But yeah.
You'd be like, hey,
pull Caruso aside
you'd be like,
and say
Caruso,
never again.
Not doing that again.
I remember when somebody called Adam Oates, one of the press guys, called him, hey, Oatsy, and he turned and said, my name is Adam. It's not okay for the media guys to use the nicknames.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I've never heard anyone get mad at me for missing his name, but for the most part, it's all good fun.
Nice.
Oh, I like that. I like that. It's all
we
good
like
fun,
you, Hutz.
Don't press it.
He's like, gotta go. Yeah, gotta go.
Hitch is on the other line. Well, Carter, it's great to have you on the show. Especially good to have you in goal with Jake here with the Blues, and looking forward to the festivities tonight. Blues and Red Wings at the Scott Trade Center. Carter Hutton, our guest, Doug, now forever known as
Hutz.
Thank you very much.
I don't think he wants to hear that from us.
From us. From his teammates.
We're insiders.
Yeah, now we're inside. We're inside the room. Presented by GFI Digital, Carter Hutton. Carter, thanks so much.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you, Hutz.
Yeah, he's right now texting Caruso. Never again.
What about Scotty Bonanni?
Bad show. No, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, don't you think it would be weird to walk in and guys who you really don't know and immediately start calling them their nicknames? That would be uncomfortable.
Look down at the ballpark? Did you say? Anyway. It happened with Charlie Marlowe. Hey, Waino.
Yeah, don't do that.
That was a bad moment.
Hey, Waino.
Hey, Waino.
You can't do that.
But what if you're like a new guy and you get it wrong and you're like, hey, Shatteroo?
No. Yeah, see, that's be all very awkward. You don't want to do that.
That was a good interview.
I enjoyed that. You know what he is? Likeable sort. Although, like, 9.5 out of 10 hockey players are likable sorts.
Because as Chase discussed on this show probably many years ago by now, he thinks it's because a lot of these kids have to spend time in the car driving to and from hockey games where they get a lot of parental contact, where some athletes, they're off on trips and they don't see their parents for weeks at a time.
And when you're talking basketball and football players, most of them went through a college period where they were treated like kings and didn't have to do anything. And
watch this.
Got first class treatment.
The sport of kings.
Sport of kings.
And diamond rings.
That's horse racing.
That's why we're here to sing. Football. Wildcats. Football. Wildcats. Nipsey Russell.
He sang that?
He was in the film with the wonderful Goldie Hawn. And you know who else was in the film?
No.
Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipe.
Were they both in there?
The only movie she showed her boobs in when she was in the bathroom.
I know. That was kind of a really gratuitous scene.
Gratuitous nudity.
Goldie Hawn did?
Yeah.
Really?
I remember seeing it, and because the breasts were somewhat altered visually by the water, I thought to myself as a young tyke, I was probably 7, I hadn't seen a lot of breasts outside of my neighbor Tony Gray and his dad had Playboys.
Oh.
That I was thinking to myself, did I just see breasts? But since I was probably watching it with my family, it would have been weird if I got up and hit fast forward, hit the fast forward button.
Right. To make take sure. Another look at it. She
so
was quite
the, Mr. Skin now.
She was quite the dish on Laugh-In when she would dance around in a bikini.
And that she was with Brett Summers?
No, Brett Summers was never on Laugh-In.
But no, that, she was a dancer. Brett Summers got her start as a dancer on Laugh-In.
That was almost risque back in the early 70s to see Goldie Hawn dancing in a bikini on Laugh-In.
How did your parents explain that to you?
They covered my eyes.
Who was the announcer? Gary Owen?
Gary Owen.
He would say, Pookie Pookie. Yeah,
he worked in St. Louis for a while.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Are you a weekend sports over Channel 2?
I don't think so. No radio guy. I'm Gary Owen. Oh, perfect voice.
You think Hutz ever saw Laugh-In?
Probably not.
Should have asked him, missed opportunity.
Probably not. Mm.
Probably the breast you never thought you would see if it was the Gong Show movie and J.P. Morgan pulled her top down.
J.P. Morgan?
J.P. Morgan.
But that's what Chuck Barris called her, Morgan.
Oh. But she just pulled her top down and showed her breast really? On the Gong Show movie.
Hmm. How about Gene the Dancing Machine?
I don't think
Gene
he
Rayburn?
Ever got naked.
No. No, that was a
I never saw
guy.
The Gong Show movie.
Didn't? Oh, the movie. No, I didn't see it.
But I do know that Chuck Barris wrote the hit song Palisades Park back in the day. Multi-talented guy.
He wrote a few songs, actually.
I read where he got his first job with NBC when he wrote the person hiring and said that his dad was an executive vice president with the company. He wasn't. And they hired him.
Ooh, it's kind of
he made it up.
He also became a movie, but he wrote a book insinuating that he was not only a producer, which is how he got his start, I think, in TV. He was also an international spy / hitman.
He made that up, too.
Well, he didn't admit that he made it up, but it's up for you to decide. Sort of like Sean Hannity, where he presents the information, and it's up to you to decide.
I don't follow him on Twitter. You might be surprised to hear that, but what's going on with him? Do you follow him on Twitter?
No.
He's upset with the other Fox News hosts because some of them aren't solidly behind the Republican candidate.
Which is embarrassing at any...
Megyn Kelly got into it with Newt Gingrich.
That was tweeted all over the place. And if tells you about how divided we are, some people are like, Newt owned her. And then the other people are like, she destroyed him. Who cares?
Yeah.
But I think Sean Hannity is all in on Trump, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yes, he would be.
Yeah, he gets angry on that Twitter tweets.
What does he tweet? Give me a...
Let's see.
Tidbits.
Did you read that guy yesterday? I forgot his name, but he goes through the primaries and then he picks a winner of the presidential race. And supposedly this system has only missed once since 1912. And he has Trump an 85% chance of winning the election.
Yeah, I read his rationale.
Yeah, stupid.
And it was like, I don't go by polls or any of the scientific data.
Polls.
I go by trends or something.
Here's the tweet I was talking about, the cats. You can see it with your own eyes. Read that to the audience, if you would be so kind. I'll do it.
To the audience, to yourself.
I can't understand what it means.
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't know. Liberal media, it was Josh Earnest who refused to...
Am-swee-te.
Say that again, am-swee-te.
That's what it says. Liberal media, it was Josh Earnest who refused to am-swee-te. Will Obama stay in the U.S. if DT wins? I mentioned I'd pay a charter to ...
I think,
could there be another tweet with it?
Even if there is, there could be the most beautiful prose ever. It still wouldn't explain am sweet te.
How do you spell that?
A-M-S-W-E-E space T-E-H.
If I'm not mistaken, am sweet te was a backup center at Georgia in the late 80s. Do you remember that?
Played against Uwe Blop?
Believe he was from Nigeria.
They were upset by Princeton and the wonderful Pete.
Oh, the old backdoor play. You know, the give and go backdoor that Princeton used.
And a lot of people thought because of his length, am-swee-te had a shot at the NBA down the road.
What would that mean, am-swee-te?
It sounds like something a stooge just said in the Pig Latin episode. Am-scree.
The pig Latin episode is what's going on here.
Boy, that gardener's here early.
There's food coming. Roderick will be through the door any minute.
Hey, boys. I'll be at the wheelhouse before the game if any Bluesers want to buy me a drink. Thanks. That's Ray King. Doug, Goldie, Schoeder, Goody's best friends in the shower with Burt Reynolds.
Schoeder, Goody's best friends. Where did that come in? Best friends.
I just read what's in the prompter. Whatever's in the prompter, I'm going to read it.
Okay. She was boobs galore.
She was really stunningly attractive.
How about Burt Reynolds back in the day?
Yeah, football player, Florida State, right?
Handsome, right?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see?
What do you mean, see? Am sweeté?
Look, I'm like Sean Hannity. I report, you decide. Okay. Iggy, can I ask you a question?
How many different am sweetés will be writing into email the day today?
Go ahead. I was checking skin for friends. I don't believe she got naked.
You, friends? You texted me a picture of a pie yesterday, and I got to say it looked very good. But it was good. Weird that you would do that. You were just showing me that it was clean and nice.
That and the point yesterday you were talking about me baking. And then a texter thought I was gay because I bake. So I just said I was bored yesterday again, so I made a nice chocolate pie, and I texted it to you and said...
It looked good.
And I said, no reflection.
But you understand, once someone sees a horrific image, sometimes it's burnt into the memory banks, and even if it's not there, you still sort of remember.
My God, I had underwear on. What do you care? You're being silly. You're being silly.
So you didn't bring that pie in, though.
No, because nobody's eating the other ones I brought in, so why bring that in? That was for myself.
When you cook in your underwear, does it make you feel pretty?
I don't cook in my underwear. I just happened to be coming out of my room, changing, and I went into the kitchen. I saw the utensils. Oh, Kat was saying my utensils are probably dirty because I'm single. I took a picture of them, and I happened to be in my underwear.
Ugh.
I wasn't doing it to arouse
the
cat
pretty,
or anybody.
Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and right. And I pity any girl who isn't me tonight.
What's that from?
West Side Story, dog.
Supposedly Jennifer Aniston has a scent that comes from Sir Ian McKellen's thirst for boy juice.
Say that.
We'll hear some of that tonight, won't we?
Producer Joe, yeah.
Yeah, he can tell through the TV who smells like what.
That's like almost a superhero sense. You know, like some of the superheroes can stretch or fly. Producer Joe's superpowers, he can see through the television if a woman has an odor.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, since he hasn't been on the show in almost 4 years now, which is saying something, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a lot of our audience is new, and they have no idea who he is. They don't really know about the phenomenon that is Producer Joe. It seems like, from that standpoint, a great Swopes pick would be giving the listeners the history of Producer Joe.
Agreed. And if you don't know about Producer Joe, you better axe somebody.
That's right.
I'm gay. Well, I'm gay.
Plow, Wing, what's your relationship like with, because we know Iggy's sideways, you got kicked out of the Fantasy Baseball League, but what about you?
I think me and Prod Joe are cool. I see him a couple times out, like when he's doing the ballpark village parking area. And when he
seemed like a shot.
And when he, no.
No, it seemed like a shot.
Well, that's the only time I see him. I don't see him in Soulard that much or
when
anything.
He's in his golf cart.
But when he does fill in, I think we have a great rapport. I think we get along great. I think we'd have a great dinner if we ended up going to dinner together.
Sounds like you'd like to go to dinner with the man.
No, just like Prod Joe.
Did you just say, I think we'd have a great dinner?
Who says that about another fellow?
Like me and him would have great conversation.
Like when you're asked about, hey, Doug, what are your thoughts on Harmon Killebrew? I think we'd have a great dinner.
You know, the old fat kid could hit with some power, played first, a little bit of third base.
The answer to the question, though, is I think me and Prod Joe get along fantastically. I don't think we have any beef.
But you'd like to go to dinner with him.
I'm just saying we would have a nice dinner if he were up to it.
Who else do you think you'd have a nice dinner with, Plowhawk?
I think me and Doug would have a really nice one, too.
I agree. I agree with that, actually.
You know, I think we'd have a great dinner with you, Pauly Shore. You guys would hit it off and giggle.
We kind of look alike.
We had him on this show once, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did. He was in studio with me and the cat. And he was actually a delight.
He was nice.
And for whatever, I mean, obviously, well, not obviously, I believe he had been up all night when he came in. And for whatever reason, he had us call Britney Spears live on the air because he said she was having a party.
And you called her, and nobody answered.
I believe that is how it played out.
Yeah. Now, is he the son of Toot Shore?
Nurse?
I believe his parents are in show business.
They'd have to be to get him in show
business. They own that famous comedy club in Los Angeles.
Yeah, with the comedies?
Comedy Factory or Store, something like that.
Guys, don't you hate when Burt Reynolds ruins the sex scene in Deliverance? Thanks, Bunchy Donovan's priest.
He shot the guy, didn't he? Didn't he shoot him?
That's text of the day.
Text of the day just got shipped. That's a free roast beef sandwich from Lion's Choice.
Ned Beatty did that.
You know what Bert did? He came and he saw what was going on and he said, this stops now.
Mm-hmm. Bow and arrow, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Of course, the other guy, when he had a shot, his hand got shaky. Do you remember that, Tim? His hand got a little shaky.
I usually finish by the time they get to the shooting scene.
Oh, gee, many Christmas.
Oh, ask a question. I give an answer, get mad. BS.
Now, I'm looking here. This might be old news. Well, it definitely is.
The whole show is old.
If it's
news
about Deliverance, it's about, what, 40 years old?
Pauly Shore's dad, is he an African American?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so.
I
could be.
Sammy Shore? I mean, that's
who, I don't think so.
That's who's popping up.
As his father?
And it says children, Pauly and Peter. And then it got right next to it, Mitzi, the club owner that you were talking about.
Mitzi, Doug.
So, well, Sammy Shore.
So. All right. I'm not familiar with
Kinda
Sammy
Kind of looks
Shore.
Like Richard Pryor, to be honest.
Does he?
Guys, over-under on the Counting Crows Burning Down Cities references tonight at the live remote at the Post. Thanks. That's from Prod Joe's more popular MMF.
I would hope he'd wear his white pants.
Those were white linen pants that were soiled by the blood from his anus.
It wasn't really from the anus. It was like from a scab or something.
How can I prevent my anus from bleeding?
Okay, maybe it was.
Now, I'll let people know that I'm not really sideways with Joe. I like Joe. I really do. And I'll let people know.
People usually say something like that and then kill the other person.
No, this is actually going to be something good. But for people that think that I hate Prod Joe because, and I have fun trashing on the air, but I went out of my way and spent a lot of time on his last day getting him all that Counting Crows stuff that we gave him. Autographed albums, posters. Because I knew that was his favorite band. Mm-hmm. I spent weeks getting that done. So I do care about Prod Joe. I just want to let that people know,
Doug,
that
needs
I,
to be on the
I did something nice for him.
And was he appreciative?
Yes, he was.
But then he still kicked you out of the fantasy baseball.
Well, yeah, I guess he forgot about the Counting Crows stuff.
Speaking of fantasy baseball, here's a gentleman already prepping for the 2017 draft. He is doing it from his bunker in Toledo. From the Two Fox and our cohort here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, the great Charlie Marlowe. Morning, Chuckles.
Good morning, guys.
Is Toledo on the way to Chicago, or is Toledo to the east? Doug, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think it's to the west.
Toledo is 2 hours due west of Cleveland.
Yes.
So, yes, it's right on the old way, but I'm going to hang out with my parents, see my little nephew Emmett, and have a good time in the Glass City.
Nice. That sounds like a nice little way to spend the day.
Why do you hate St. Louis?
I love St. Louis. I actually thought I was going to be just covering the games in Cleveland, and now they kind of said, look, why don't you just cover them all?
These games have kind of sucked so far.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I can't imagine. Either way, so you're going to be at Wrigley tomorrow night?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Tonight.
That's pretty cool. There are very few sporting events that I really want to go to anymore. That would be one I would want to go to. I can't imagine what that atmosphere will be like tomorrow.
The great thing about covering something like the World Series, Charlie, and maybe you could shed some light, is the access that you get. Like, if you need an interview, you just pop in there and grab a guy and pull him out for a one-on-one, or you need the man, right? I mean, it's just great access, isn't it?
Correct. Besides the fact that the clubhouse is an open pregame, but you also know, like, when we go into the Cardinals clubhouse, all those guys are always, they're there for that whole time that we're supposed to be there, and they all want to talk.
Sure.
None of them ever hide in that other room so that we can't talk to them, so that's always good as well.
Mm. It's like, so it's the same. It's kind of like the regular season for you.
Correct. I would say it's phenomenal access.
Okay. Do you have a spot inside the stadium, or are you situated out in the parking lot?
I've been in the stadium for both games. I think at Wrigley they'll have, if you guys remember for the NLDS last year, their auxiliary press box was like the left field, I guess, you know, the corner way up top. So I wonder if that'll be the same for the World Series at Jacobs Field, or now Progressive. I grew up, it was Jacobs Field. But it was the right field corner, fourth level. And the local TV doesn't usually have seats, but I just kind of look around and I see a card of someone that I think will not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So last night it was this, I think it was like a Mexican station that was called like Bola, Mexico. And I figured they're not going to show up, and they didn't.
Nice. But that's a crapshoot. Last time we were at Wrigley for the playoffs last year. I was with Raby, our friend from KMOX, and we didn't have seats, but we just sat in one area that looked like it wasn't going to be busy with people sitting there. And sure enough, just before game time, people came and kicked us out. So it's a crapshoot.
Game one. Game one, I got kicked out. But then you kind of hover above for an inning or so, and you look at whose seat is not there, and then you snipe and you grab it.
And are there nearby fans yelling at you for taking up spots that fans could have had?
No, we're kind of partitioned off from the fans. It wasn't like, I'm telling you, when Doug was sitting in those seats a couple years ago, all the fans were bothering Doug, trying to get pictures and all that. Like, I saw Doug take at least 5 pictures.
Where are we talking about? Bush Stadium?
It was the Cardinals versus, I think it was the Giants. NLCS a few years back.
2014. Oh.
Yeah. Well, they weren't yelling at us, but I've been at stadiums where people yelled at us.
Yes, we were sitting next to each other at Fenway Park in 2004, and they were screaming at us while a gentleman from, like, the Cedar Rapids, Iowa Gazette was playing solitaire on his laptop.
Right, and a ticket that they could have sold for about $1,000.
Right in right field, and they had been displacing Red Sox fans who hadn't had a World Series there, since 86, I guess, right? Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to hold Red Sox players and fans accountable when Pedro Gomez calmed me down.
I do remember. I actually was near that, too. Like, I'm the Forrest Gump of the 04 Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Chuckles, what do you think of the game last night? Arrieta was, I mean, that was interesting as to whether or not the Indians would get a hit.
Yeah. Real quick, I was going to say about the seats. I think for these World Series games, you're probably getting, I don't want to say a higher caliber fan, but a higher price range fan. Mm. So maybe they're not the ones yelling as much. Like, my buddy went to the game last night, and he sat 7 rows up behind the on-deck circle for the Cubs. His girlfriend got him present for his birthday, and he paid $1,250 a seat for those. And I have another buddy who had bleacher seats for Wrigley Game 3, so first World Series game in like 71 years, and they're $200 face value seats. He sold a pair for $5,000 for Game 3 on Friday.
Boy.
So $400 for the tickets. Going for $5,000.
I would think that Game 5 at Wrigley could be one of the hottest tickets in the history of sports.
Yeah,
a possible clincher.
I've seen that too, but I'm thinking, and I get that, but I would pay way more. I mean, I wouldn't pay those prices for any of these tickets, but if I was going to go, I would wait until it was a potential clinching game.
Yeah, but that's what Doug said, baby. He said if that's a potential clincher.
Right, I'm just saying, like, Game 3, I mean, is it that cool to say you're the first World Series game in Chicago in 71 years and it's just a random Game 3? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, if you need help getting an interview with Eddie Vedder, I can help you with that. Because I know in the past he's turned you down and then been glad to do an interview with me.
He was, though, very cordial, and he gave me a couple of souvenir guitar picks.
But he wouldn't talk to you on camera.
Well, here's the thing. He didn't want to talk to the big daunting local TV camera. I think you shot it on a little iPhone. He thought I was just some little podunk reporter from the Daily Bugle.
Well, he was right about that, Bugle. Wasn't he?
I think that was the name of our St. Gabriel newspaper. Doug, now that I think
was
about
it, Daily
I didn't
Bugle.
Even know that we were credentialed. Charlie Marlowe's with us. He's in Toledo, but he's on his way from Cleveland to Chicago. When you're covering this thing, do you get the impression that this is going to be the Cubs World Series, or do you think because you have the dominating Corey Kluber waiting there in Game 4 that the Indians could have a Chris Carpenter-like situation 5 years ago with the Cardinals where he is just going to be outstanding each time he's out there?
Yeah, I think we could see that with Kluber. I didn't like the fact that they pulled him in Game 1, but after the fact, if Francona's whole idea was to throw him in Games 4 and 7, potentially 7, it makes much more sense now. He threw 88 pitches, and I thought he was cruising. As good as Andrew Miller has been, I didn't know why they pulled him there, but this makes sense now. I usually don't like when managers throw pitchers on 3 days rest. I don't know the exact numbers, but it seems like every time you watch it, most of the time that does not work out. But I think the Indians are in a tough spot because besides Kluber and with the injuries they've had to Salazar and who's their other pitcher there? Carrasco that's also hurt. You just look at those pitching matchups and they seem to all favor the Cubs. So I totally get that in throwing Kluber, trying to throw him 3 times, and then just using Andrew Miller and Cody Allen as much as possible in the other games. So, I mean, I don't know. It would not surprise me, actually, if the Cubs won this thing in 5 now. I mean, I just think the way the offense has got going, you're going to be at Wrigley in this crazy atmosphere. Just on paper, the Cubs are just so much of a better team across the board, a complete team. So it wouldn't surprise me either, though, if the Cubs won the next three.
They had the edge talent-wise before Schwarber, who, I mean, that's kind of remarkable what he's done. He came back, hadn't had a hit all season because of his injury, and now he looks like he's, you know, in mid-season form. You don't see that.
Hey, what do you say about this Schwarbsy?
I would say if you asked Joe Madden who's big for him right now, he'd probably say Schwarbsy.
I think so.
Are you rooting for the Indians at all based on your love of all things Ohio?
not really.
Oh, your voice cracked, so that's a yes. I mean, that was a tell.
That's just because I just woke up, though. That's why it cracked like that. I don't know. I'm like an hour from Detroit where I grew up, so I would say it's like two-thirds Detroit sports fans, one-third Cleveland fans. I'm not really a Cleveland sports fan per se, but I mean, I think it's cool if either of these teams win, to be honest with you. I think for this year, I wouldn't mind seeing Cleveland win just because I don't think they're going to be back every year for the next few years, whereas I think if the Cubs don't win it this year, I would bet money the Cubs win a World Series in the next, say, 3 years.
Because you're at the World Series and we're not, do you feel like you're better than us?
Now that's a great... Doug, you had a hell of an 8 o'clock hour.
Well, I've always thought I was better than you, Doug, regardless of what game I'm at. No, it's fun to cover the World Series, but I'm doing a lot of work, actually. So it's work and play, Doug.
I bet it'll be a good time tomorrow, though, this weekend up there. It looks like the weather's not going to be too bad. Sunday night looks a little rough, but tomorrow night and Saturday looks pretty good.
Yeah, what's the temperature supposed to be like? It was really
cold. Doug,
do you
have the forecast?
Really cold last night.
Tomorrow, 67 high, 61 low. Saturday, 72 high, 54 low. And then Sunday, Doug, a little dangerous, 57 high, 47 low.
That's not bad for end of October in Chicago.
Yeah,
Chi-Town about as good as you could get.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, Cleveland was what? I think the game started, game one was about 50 degrees. And then last night, I think it started around 45 degrees, and at the end, the rain, I mean, the second that game ended and everybody got on the field, it just poured down rain afterwards.
That's always good they started early. You know, in St. Louis, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, I think St. Louis fans are taking too much joy in the fact that Hayward is really just he was a pinch runner last night, and I think Cardinal fans are taking a lot of joy in that. Have you stopped by the manager's office or the Cubs clubhouse and held them accountable on that one?
Held the manager or the Cubs for signing him or
yes.
For Hayward?
Yes, all of the above.
I haven't yet. I was going to wait, you know, probably till game four to do that. I just felt like that was probably a good time to do that. I was, and as we're watching that game last night, and you see Hayward as a pinch runner, and you obviously know that he hadn't started the first couple games, you start to feel sorry for him because, and I will say this, the whole time, I never thought the Cardinals should re-sign Jason Hayward, although I think he's a very fine player. I never thought he was worth this much money. I also don't think, though, like this will be the worst season he ever has. I don't think he's gonna be this type of player for the rest of his career. But still, he's a really nice guy. He was great to the media, and you kind of don't wish this misfortune on anybody. I understand that Cardinals fans are bitter about him leaving, but he is a good guy. And I tweeted this last night. I just think it must be weird for him, even though he has all that money. You know, I think even if you have all that money as an athlete, you don't want to go through a season where you're getting paid all that, and everybody's looking at you. You're not even starting in the World Series, and you're a $23 million pinch runner / defensive replacement. That has to be a tough spot, even though he's making all that money.
Well, I mean, because they're human beings also, and he is a really...
Well, men, not machines.
He is a really, really nice guy, and, you know, I feel bad for him, too. If you're going to struggle, better to do it with $23 million, you know, for your efforts. But that being said, you know, I'm sure this is difficult on him, and I do think... You know, I don't know why we would take so much joy in the fact that he's struggling just because he chose to sign somewhere else. I don't get
Same
that.
Same reason we take joy with the Rams losing.
But that's
they
different.
They spurned us.
Yeah. One was a dishonest. I mean, one is a dishonest thing that couched St. Louis as a city that can't support them when we had support them. The other is a guy saying, "I just feel more comfortable with that team." He never lied about it. They never had a town hall to see if Cardinal fans want Hayward back.
I will say this, though, about Hayward. I do think, and I understand why Cardinals fans are mad about it, but I think baseball as a whole, I do think the game of baseball, and you look at sabermetrics and all the new general managers and all that, I do think that everybody got it wrong with Hayward. And I'm not just saying that after the fact, because, again, I don't think he's ever going to be this bad again. But even if he's the same type of player he was last year with the Cardinals, that is not a guy that's worth $23 million right. a year. And I think they just totally overvalued the fact that he was young, the fact that he was one of the youngest free agents in the history of baseball, and he was hitting free agency, I believe, entering his age 26 season. And everybody said, oh, he's going to get better. He's gonna finally reach that potential or have that season where he hit 27 homers, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I just look at, this is a guy who has 6 years worth of major league stats. Like, I just don't think he's ever going to get that much better than what he was before. Just because he's young, you know, 25, 26, doesn't mean all of a sudden he's going to hit 40 home runs.
Charlie Marlowe, up in Toledo, en route to Chicago. He's covering the World Series for the Two Fox, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Charles, enjoy it. I bet this is going to be cool. I think it'll be super, just a phenomenal atmosphere around Chicago, and of course the north side the next few days. So enjoy that one, and fortunately you get some good weather as well. Charlie Marlowe with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Thank you, Chuckles.
Miss you, Charlie.
No problem, guys.
Miss
Thanks.
You.
Good to talk to you.
See you, right. Coworker.
We didn't call him friend.
Do you think Jason Hayward needs a total swing makeover in the offseason?
I agree with Charlie. He's going to be a decent player. I think this will be the worst season he ever has.
I'm not sure about that.
He's got one of the ugliest swings in the major league. Somebody needs to say, we're starting over. We're going to start over with your swing. If we're going to pay you this kind of money, you can't hit 220 with no power. We're going to try to do something different.
This is an outlier for him to have this kind of season. He's not worth the money. I'm not saying he is, but I do think it's not like this is his second year in Major League Baseball. Sure, they'll work. Every player works on their swing, and so they'll do that.
A total redo.
And if he gets off to a good start, he'll be fine. I'm not saying he's worth the money. I'm glad that they didn't spend it on him, but he'll be a good player again.
It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joined by Carter Hutton and Charlie Marlowe here in the 8 o'clock hour. Of your emails for Email of the Day. Big prize again. Morning After at InsideSTL.com. 2 tickets: the Blues versus the Avalanche. On November 6th is our prize for our Email of the Day. Doug, we are unveiling it in a matter of seconds. It's another 590 The Fan, KFNS, Inside STL, Listener Rewards going on sale in 4 minutes on InsideSTL.com.
Here's your reward.
Support the sponsors and save money with weekly limited release deals on the website. The next one going on sale at 9 a.m. And you'll be able to purchase a $25 gift certificate to Gaslight Lounge and a $25 gift certificate to Cha Cha Chow. Watch this. Cha Cha Chow.
Very well done.
For just $25. Only a limited number will be sold, so be ready to purchase in 4 minutes. The Gaslight is the new cutting-edge recording studio on the Hill that features a full bar and restaurant in the same building. It's a combo made in heaven with music, booze, and tacos. And they just brought some in for us, I see tell.
I see some cooking going on here behind me.
All in one place. Gaslight's guests can listen and view live recording sessions through a glass wall on one side of the recording studio, view the sessions from a lounge area with a craft cocktail and beer bar while enjoying tacos and burgers provided by St. Louis's best food truck, Cha Cha Chow, winner of Best Taco and Best Food Truck Awards in Sauce Magazine, also known as Sauce Magazine. Mm-hmm. It's KFNS, InsideSTL.com, Listener Rewards. Just click the Listener Rewards banner on InsideSTL.com homepage to support the sponsors and save money. Plus, we still have a handful of gift certificates, $50 gift certificates for $25 to Wildwood Pub, and those can be used towards food, drink, or their famous golf simulators. Check out the indoor golf experience like no other that allows you to play your dream courses with no other concerns, only at Wildwood Pub and Golf. So that's what we have going on. Doug, it's coming your way, and you can go buy them in 2 minutes on InsideSTL.com. We'll post the link on the fan pin and tweet it out as well. It's the KFNS InsideSTL.com Listener Rewards. We'll take a break, come back with more. What are we here? On the Ryan Kelly Morning After.